Welcome to the Melrose Place podcast, where we rewatch, recap, and analyze every episode of the hit 90s TV series, Melrose Place.
I'm Jenny.
And I'm Dan.
Let's get it started.
Season 1, episode 30. There's two more. Air date, April 28th, 1993. Carpe Diem.
Seize the day.
Should have been Carpe Damn.
Oh, good one. Wow.
Yeah.
This is what we signed up for, guys.
Everyone, every episode now is just hard hitting.
It's getting just us. Packed with drama. This is where it's at. Thanks for hanging in, because now It's paying off.
It's getting good. These are getting easy. We're getting excited when we watch now. It's nuts.
Whew. So we start out with the mainstay, snakeskin boots walking down the street.
Boots on the ground.
We've seen this before. This is like stock footage. I swear they've used it in like four or five other episodes.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And there's some rock song going on. The only quote I got from it was, "Paint the walls and cut the grass." They scream, "Paint the walls and cut the grass."
It's a list of chores.
Yeah, it's Mancini's duties. But that music ends up being what Billy is listening to in the kitchen.
Clever. It's on the radio. Yeah. Nice little 90s moment there. And Billy is making breakfast. He's super excited because, guys, remember how the last episode ended.
Yeah.
Allison smooches Billy. So he's super happy. Allison kind of walks into the kitchen cautiously like, "Oh, I don't know. Am I scared? Oh, I took a risk last night. How's it going to be?" And Billy turns around. "I made you breakfast." And he's all excited. And of course, Allison is like, "Nah, we got to talk."
And I will say this is one of the better breakfasts that's been cooked for a tenant the next day.
Yeah, you really take issue with the breakfast that...
Oh, yeah. I'm a breakfast guy, Jenny. I love my...
You don't gotta tell me twice. I know your love of pancakes, and you like Denny's the best.
You can't be coming at me with some burnt toast and butter like Joe Reynolds.
I know.
That'll get you divorced. Then you'll be working at Designs.
Well, that's all Jane Mancini. She had a lot of those today. We'll get into that, too.
But, yeah, this is a good breakfast. It's like bacon, eggs, and all they did was kiss.
Yeah, well, she's like, "I don't know, like, we need to talk about what happened last night." And he's like, okay.
He's like, what's to talk about?
"I'm sick of talking. We've been talking for about a year. I want to take action." And she's like, "Look, we need to go on a date. We have to kind of get serious here and really talk about our feelings for one another." And
he's like, she's like, "Oh, and... don't tell anybody, okay?" Guys, I know a lot of you are listening again to this episode, but if a girl tells you they want to keep your relationship a secret, they don't like you.
That's not true.
Oh, it's pretty true.
Her reasoning is she wants to keep her life private because she feels thrust into the middle of Jane and Michael's whole drama, with Michael obviously having an affair, and she doesn't want to make this other people's business. So that kind of sets up that this is weighing really heavy on her mind with the Jane and Michael thing, which is going to be an issue later down the road.
Yeah. And the most important thing is she didn't eat the breakfast.
Yeah. What's up with that?
That was the best breakfast.
She was like, "I got to get out of here. Bye. Yeah. Sorry for making all that food."
Got to eat the breakfast, man. So we cut over to the Mancinis. And as always, Jane is trying to get frisky with Michael before he goes to work.
Well, here's the thing. Okay, Michael is shaving his face in the mirror. Jane, like, walks up behind him while he has a razor blade on his face.
It should have been like, bitch, you almost cut
me. Yeah, she's all like, she jumps up on him like, Michael, like trying to take his towel off from around his waist. Like, and take his pants off. Yeah.
And it's like, Jane, come on. Seriously, I gotta go to work.
I'm gonna be late, Jane, okay?
And then he, like, basically pushes her out the door as long as he promises that, like, they're going to go out for their anniversary. And he's like, yeah, 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 we're definitely going to go, Jane, okay? We're going to go. And then she goes to turn around and the door's already shut in her face.
Yeah, so this is kind of sad. It's their 2-year anniversary. It's the eve of their anniversary. So the day before, they are making plans to go out. And you can tell Jane is super excited to have Michael to herself for at least one night, and she just doesn't feel that reciprocation from Michael.
Yeah, and this I didn't really understand this in relationship to the end of the last episode, because last episode was freaking guitar slow-mo sand pour out of Michael's shoe. Yeah. And I was like, Jane, why is she like all about it now? But she at the last episode, she was basically like figuring it out, like, he's cheating. There's
something fishy going on. Maybe she wants to give him the benefit of the doubt. But as soon as that door shuts, her face just changes. Like, oh shit, here's yet another thing that could be the evidence that he might be having an affair. So we head over to the hospital, and Dr. Kimberly Shaw pulls up in her beautiful
Chevy convertible.
Yeah, that blue little Chevy convertible, tops up, though. Mm-hmm. And Michael comes over and meets her in the parking lot, and she's like, oh, Michael, I've been kept up all night by having these wonderful dreams of a passionate Italian. And she kisses him on the cheek right then and there in the parking lot.
Yeah, and he's like, what the fuck are you doing? You're supposed to be my side chick.
Right. So she's like, okay, we've got to be discreet. I really need to see you. We both have off tomorrow. Let's get together.
And then Michael chimes in. He's like, ooh, Kimberly, I'm tied up. He's like, not yet. Kimberly, I'm all tied up. It's my anniversary, so I can't get away.
And then Kimberly's like, this isn't right. I'm not a bimbo. I'm a doctor. I don't know what I'm doing. I'll just see you at rounds. And she storms off.
And me and you both looked at each other. We're like, you signed up for this, Kimberly.
And the last episode, she explicitly said, I want you any way I can get you, Michael. And if that means I have to be your side piece, I'm going to be that.
Yeah.
In so many words, that's what she says.
Them's the breaks, kid. You agreed to it. Now you got to see it through.
Well, we head back over to Melrose Place, to Billy and Allison's apartment, and they're both getting ready for their date.
Yeah, and the music playing right now sounds like it's from America's Funniest Home Videos.
Really?
It's like...
And this is really to highlight how difficult it is to get ready for a date when you live with the person that's taking you out.
Yeah, it's just forced.
It's just cheesy. So Allison is like, well, how can I get in the bathroom if I have to wait until you clip your toenails?
And who's clipping their toenails before a date? Not I.
Well, I thought you were going to be like, who's clipping their toenails in the bathroom? Because we all know, Dan, you clip your toenails either in the bed, and then you forget that you leave your toenail clippings in the bed.
Now everybody knows. You used to only know. Now you've let them in.
I'm blowing up your spot. But anyway, so they kind of like have a little sparring back and forth. Like, you're wearing too much makeup.
Yeah, and then she's like, what should I wear? Where are we going? And there's this big like to-do about like how she should dress.
Casual but dressy. Sexy but demure.
Yeah, so that in the end, that means an orange sweatshirt and mom jeans.
Well, he says, she's like, where are you taking me? And he says, the concert in the park. And that's when she's like, oh, great. I've got a pair of jeans in the dryer. I can go grab them right now. So that's like, and her opportunity to dress down a little bit.
And Allison always sounds stuffed up.
I noticed that.
She's like, oh, hi, Bella.
No.
That's so sweet.
No, especially on the date. On the date, it's like crazy. But before they actually go on the date, she goes down to the laundry room to get this pair of mom jeans that she's going to wear. And who's there but Jane Mancini?
Yeah, and this is supposed to be in passing, but Jane's casual convos are super deep. She's like, hey, Jane. And then Jane's like, oh, hey, Allison, I'm just thinking about marriage. It's like, what?
And we all know Allison is grappling with the fact that she knows that Mr. Michael Mancini is having an affair with Kimberly Shaw, but she doesn't want to let it on. So she's kind of like trying to skirt around the subject. She's not making eye contact. And mm-hmm. Jane is kind of going on and on. Marriage is so beautiful. I mean, the first couple of years are really difficult. But when you look at people that have been married for a long time and you see what they've built, it's truly beautiful. And Allison's face is just like,
yeah.
Yeah.
He's fucking Kimberly.
So Jane kind of gets this cue and is like, oh, look at me. I'm just babbling on. And Allison kind of tries to save face and is like, oh, no, Jane, you're fine. Everything's cool. And she wishes her a happy anniversary and leaves.
Yep. So now we go to this concert in the park, and it's really just some people playing the clarinet on a stage.
I was going to say,
this is the worst date ever.
Clarinet solo. Wow. Front and center.
It's not even Kenny G.
It's like, it's all about the clarinet. And there's maybe 20 people there.
Maybe.
It's like a very intimate concert.
Yeah, it's real stupid. And Allison... Allison is a victim of really shitty dates. Because remember the date she went on with Keith in the campgrounds?
She likes this. She was like very excited when Billy was like, oh, I'm taking you to the concert in the park.
Well, anything's better than being served freaking fish for breakfast. Remember, she's like, take me home. I don't feel good.
Oh, I remember.
And she says take me home from dates a lot. Spoiler alert.
Okay, well, we're getting into that here. So, of course, Allison is so good at killing the mood. All she wants to do is complain about Jane and Michael because she had this exchange with Jane in the laundry room and she feels guilty and she can't believe that Michael is leading Jane on and lying to her. And poor Billy is really trying to salvage some of the date, trying to change the topic, but she just keeps going back to Michael and Jane.
Yeah, and he's basically like, look, just shut up and let's make out on this blanket. Well, and she's not feeling it.
Well, what he says is, you know, sometimes affairs could be good for couples. It makes them stronger. And she's like, Billy, what, are you defending him? Oh my God, I can't believe you're defending him, Billy.
Oh my God.
And so they kind of start going down the bad path. Does he say
something about sexy time? And he's like, well, when we have sex or something like that.
Well, no, he says, he's like, what's the problem, Allison? It seems like you're using this Michael thing as an excuse not to sleep with me tonight. Which I heard that and I was like, whoa.
Yeah, first
date. She just kissed you last night. And I get it. You guys are living together, whatever. You know each other. But to expect that you're going to get laid the first night?
Yeah. Have you seen Billy's other dates? He had one date with a woman and he was ready to be a stepfather.
Oh, that's right.
He had one date with another girl and she was basically moved in and used her mate's deodorant. And... Yeah,
okay.
Billy moves
his
very
track
fast.
Record. You're right. And with Amanda.
Moved in with Amanda.
Seriously, like day four.
Yeah. Allison, she's lucky she's not pregnant.
So Allison, of course, is, "Oh, Billy, you've sucked out all the romance out of this date. Take me home."
And he's like,
"Fine.
Gladly.
Okay.
Let's grab our igloo cooler and get out of here." So the next scene, Old Faithful is back.
It's the next day.
Little ratty robe.
Oh, yeah.
Blue ratty robe, moon on the back, stars all around. Life is good.
Billy and Allison both slept in their respective rooms because they had that little falling out in their date before. And Allison knocks on Billy's door and he's like, "Oh, hi, come on in."
Yeah, what the fuck is this?
And then they start talking about their dreams.
Yeah, and my note is, did they have the same dream?
No, okay, so let me just
is this quote Inception? This.
So Billy says, Billy's like, "Yeah, I had lots of really crazy dreams last night." So, and Allison says she did too. He says, "Waves," she says, "waves crashing against rocks." And he finishes, "flowers opening in the storm." What?
They are connecting on another level.
Who dreams about flowers opening in a storm?
In lovebirds. You didn't?
Oh.
I did. When I first met you, it was all just
flowers opening.
Dandelions and blades of grass.
Okay. Maybe I missed that part.
You were too drunk.
Well, we're all airing the dirty laundry today. Okay. Yep. So they decide they're going to have a do-over date, which is another running theme all the time.
Yeah, they're like, let's try that again.
Yeah, they always have to redo dates or dinners or conversations. It's always like, let's try this again.
Mm-hmm.
So they've decided that that night, they're going to have a nice quiet evening in and do a do-over date.
Then we are greeted by Joe Reynolds on top of a ladder, on the beach, shooting these models that are hanging out on the beach with bed furniture.
And this was probably very provocative for the day.
And guys, these photos suck. These are the worst.
Like they
do this like snap still image when Joe is shooting.
And like she takes the photo and it freeze frames. But it's all blurry and weird. It
is so blurry. I take better photos in a moving
like
car.
On my flip phone from like 2001. Phone.
Yeah. Joe, there's no question why you were broke and moved away.
And did you notice the music?
No.
It's Blink-182. I know it is.
Is it?
I swear.
Yeah, right.
Guys, fact check me. I swear that is a young Blink-182, they're from Orange County.
Yeah, but they were probably like 7 when this came
out. I swear to God, please.
They were probably 12.
We're going to look this up. I swear that is Blink-182.
I'm going to bet a lot of money that it's not.
Well,
I'll look it up.
Check.
I'll look it up.
So there's a ton of models are all like hanging out in lingerie, like draped over the bed and like laying against the bureaus. And one of them, who is she in Wayne's World?
Karen. Her name is Karen. Well, the character's name is Karen, played by Vanessa Angel. And quickly looking through her IMDb, she's known for Hall Pass, Kingpin, and the TV series Weird Science.
That's what it is.
Really?
Yeah.
The TV series.
Yeah, TV series.
Not the good movie.
No, because I don't think I've actually seen that movie all the way through.
How dare you?
But I did see the TV series as a kid.
That is no consolation.
And that's why I know who she is. So anyway, she's like a really cool girl model. And Joe is kind of paying her a compliment, saying, "Oh, you're so beautiful." And Karen is like, "Well, of course I am. I'm a model. I only starve myself and I'm a vapid void of existence." Mm-hmm. And so they kind of click. They're both kind of sarcastic and a little pessimistic. And they decide that they're going to go out after the shoot and get some drinks to celebrate together.
And you know what? It's interesting that it took a while, but they finally gave Joe like some friends. She doesn't have any friends except Allison.
Well,
she doesn't hang out with anybody except Jake.
Think about it. She moved into Melrose Place not too long ago.
Yeah,
but I mean, if you think about the timeline, Billy and Allison haven't even lived together for a year yet. They're like, we've almost lived together for a year. And Sandy was in for, what, 5 months? I don't know.
So, yeah.
So, I mean, she just came out from New York. She's still kind of, like, catching her bearings. But, yeah, she's meeting these, like, really cool people.
Yeah, so they make a plan to, like, go out.
Hit a few clubs, break a few hearts. That's what they say.
And now we're over with Michael and Kimberly. And basically, Michael devises a way to escape his anniversary dinner.
Right. So, firstly, Kimberly apologizes to Michael just to say, hey, it was not right of me to get upset. It is your anniversary. And Michael's like, no, I've only been thinking about you all day, every day. I don't want to spend that any night with Jane. I want to be with you. So what you're going to do is when I'm at dinner, you're going to page me and I'm going to pretend that it's the ER and I'm going to leave dinner and come spend the night with you.
Bad move, Mancini. You're giving the side piece way too much attention.
And he says, I'd rather be sleeping with you tonight than anybody else. And Kimberly's face just lights up.
Yeah, she's like, sweet, I've got him where I want to.
So.
Now D&D, right?
D&D.
Yeah, I didn't get what was going on here, but I just wrote, Allison challenges Amanda again.
Well, they're having an argument in the main floor in front of everybody. And basically, Amanda's not letting Allison go to the client meeting. And Amanda's like...
And Allison is like, oh, come on, Amanda, why? She's like, she fucking pounced like a baby. You said...
She always goes, oh, God, really?
If someone said
that
shit to me at work, I'd be like, you need a timeout. Like, go outside, get like, take some breaths and like chill.
It's funny you should say that because Lucy, the boss,
yeah,
overhears this and is like, Allison, come into my office now. And I thought that she was kind of like doing that for the benefit of Amanda. But as soon as she got alone with Allison, she was going to be like, is Amanda bullying you? Because you know how she always coddles Allison.
Yeah.
I don't know. But she really does lead with, look, I'm sick of this. Amanda is your superior. You need to basically like obey her and stop challenging her in front of everybody else in the office. It's embarrassing.
It's a distraction. It is not cool, Amanda, Allison. God damn it. I do it too.
Because Allison, I don't know Amanda, why Allison. Why are they both names A? Like one should be like Esmeralda or something.
So Lucy tells Allison that there is some retreat that she wants her to go to. It's only for executives, but she wants to bring along Allison, as always.
Yeah, her little sidekick.
Yeah. Allison, there's this thing you're not supposed to be at, but I want you there.
And I'm only telling you the day of. That happens a lot, too.
And then Allison always has some kind of guy issue, and she's like, well,
But I'm supposed to be with Billy. And then she gets the look from Lucy, like...
I was going to eat pizza and watch a movie with my roommate. What kind of excuse is that? But still,
it's kind of like they're asking the day of for her to go. That's kind of weird.
Yeah, it's tough. That's a tough, tough situation.
But Allison does decide that she's going to go. She agrees that she'll be there and that she's going to join the executive retreat in Palm Springs and she's going to meet them to go on the bus.
Boom. We're at Shooters. Joe is drinking with her girls. They're smoking cigarettes inside. They're getting fucked up. It's sort of a pregame. Mm-hmm. And then Jake shows up and he's being like super responsible.
Yeah. Everybody, number one, is like really impressed. And Jake looked really good this episode.
I didn't even notice him.
I did. I thought he looked pretty hot.
They're just like, hey, who is this?
Oh, you did a good job, Joe. And so they're all talking about their plans that they're going to go to the Black Hole Club and where they all play heavy metal and sing-alongs.
And Jake is so... He, for being a little rebel, he's a little straight edge bitch, kind of. Because he's always like, he's like, no guns. And then he looks at Joe and he's like, are you smoking?
And Joe's like, yeah, I smoke occasionally. I'm just letting loose.
Yeah, and then he gets mad at his mom when she gets hammered and fucks guys at bars.
Well,
he's like, come on, mom.
So.
And then, something happened with Sandy where he was mad at her for doing something. He polices the building.
Well, Jake says that he can't go out with the girls that night because somebody dropped in a motorcycle right at closing time, and he promised to have it ready for them by the first thing the next day, so he's going to be working overnight. But Joe still says that she's still going to go, and she's going to enjoy her night with all of the supermodel girls.
Right, so he just tells her, have fun, enjoy, and they go on their merry way. Now we go to Jane and Michael's anniversary dinner. It's very beautiful. The scenery is lovely. It seems like this is where they had lunch, but they just turned the lights out.
Yeah, but it still looks nice.
Yeah, it's real nice.
And they are really relaxed.
Yeah, they're relaxed.
I don't know what it is, but whenever Jane says a word that has like... E sound at the beginning, she always like puts the emphasis on that syllable.
Yeah, she puts
relax.
She puts the wrong emphasis
on the wrong syllable. So they're getting champagne. It's the end of the meal, and then Jane starts confiding in Michael about how she's been feeling down lately, that the hospital is really intruding on their lives, that he's working such long hours and she's working a lot, and they don't have the opportunity to spend time together too much. The server comes over. They decide that they're going to get, like, a cake to celebrate or some kind of a dessert.
At first she's like, no, I don't want anything. And then Michael's like, no, Jane, have something for dessert. You deserve it.
Yeah.
And then she's like, coffee.
And then Michael's pager goes off. And poor Jane is like, oh my gosh, don't tell me. That's the hospital. He looks at the pager. Honey, it's the ER line. I'm going to have to call it back. And she's like, you're going to have to go in, aren't you?
And he's like, yeah. Before he even calls. He's just like, sorry, Jane, got to roll.
So he
Who
gets
are you,
up,
Batman?
Yeah, they're calling me. He gets up, leaves the table, and she just looks at the server and goes, check, please.
Cheater's life. Now we're back to Allison.
Ugh!
We're back to Allison and Billy's apartment, and Allison is apologizing to Billy, sort of groveling like she normally does. She's like, I am sorry for bringing up Jane and Michael so much at the clarinets in the park.
And I'm sorry that I have to leave last minute, and we were supposed to have a do-over date like we do all the time.
Right.
But it's just amazing that I got invited anyways. And Billy is like, that's okay, Allison. We've been waiting for a year for this romance, but I can wait a couple more days.
Right. So they leave it cool. Kiss, kissy, kissy, bye-bye. And then Allison goes outside. She's leaving for the retreat. And maybe one of the most important scenes of the episode happens in passing with her and Jane.
Yeah, so she sees Jane and notices that Jane is all by herself and she's going to her apartment and she's like, hey, Jane, isn't tonight, you know, your big night? This is your anniversary. And Jane is like, yeah, Michael got called into the ER. And then she starts telling Allison kind of her feelings that she feels... kind of paranoid that Michael doesn't love her or something, and maybe there's something else going on. And Allison prods and is like, well, what do you mean? How, like, elaborate on this. And she's like, I don't know. He's just so distant. And I just don't know. It just seems like there's something going on. And then Allison, to my surprise, I looked over at Dan like, is this really happening right now? She's like, look, Jane, I've been holding this inside for so long. I saw Michael with Kimberly at the hospital when I had to go get my checkup from that surgery that I had over Christmas. They were in the parking lot. They had their arms around each other. And it really looked very passionate. And it seemed as though there was something going on. Yep. And Jane is freaking pissed.
Well, she's, yeah, no one wants to hear that.
She's like, no, so why are you telling me this? Stop telling me this. And she's like, Jane, I don't want to like ruin this night for you. But then I confronted Michael about it. And he pretty much told me that I was correct. And that he's not going to say anything to you. And that I better not say anything to you. And Jane is just not having it. And she's like, look, I have to go. I'm going to Palm Springs. Here's the number to the hotel. Call me if you want to tell me that I'm a jerk. Or if you want to talk about it. And Jane just looks at her. And she's like, get out of here.
If you're, all right, so if your neighbor, who you're pretty friendly with in passing, if you saw their husband hooking up with somebody, would you tell him?
No.
Yeah, I don't hell think you'd tell him.
No.
You just him find out. But like, you know, there's a moral obligation. But no, yeah, you don't want to get in the middle of that
you,
shit.
You don't get in the middle unless it's a family member or a very close friend.
Because they react like Jane does.
Yeah, that's the only time I would intervene. If it's a neighbor or somebody that you're acquaintances with, you don't know what the situation is.
But then later, if they go back and they're like, did you know? Would you tell them the truth?
Yes.
And then they could be mad at you forever.
Well, they might be mad, but it's like, look, that is not my business. I did not want to get involved. Because some people might have like weird understandings. Like, well, I let my husband cheat 4 times a year. I don't know. Yeah. Something weird could be happening like that. Or like,
people are listening like, what? That happens?
That's an option?
Yeah. I gotta add that to my my Match.com profile.
4 times a year. That's it. But I don't know. Would you tell him?
I don't know. Maybe. It depends on our relationship. Yeah. But I wouldn't want it backfiring on me later. That like, that I knew. Because that's just as bad.
Yeah.
Like, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. I don't know. That's tough.
So we leave that horrible scene and we jet over to Palm Springs, and Amanda and Allison have to stay in the same room over the weekend executive retreat in Palm Springs.
And Amanda is firing shade on all cylinders.
This was great. This line was great.
Great fucking lines here.
And of course, okay. Of course, Allison starts, my God, Amanda, how much clothes could you bring? Of course, that whiny little, like
pre-pubescent. Oh, my goodness, Amanda. And Amanda's like, sorry, I guess I just don't share what is it?
She says, I never understood the virtue of packing lightly. I guess I don't have the talent for making one outfit work 3 different ways.
Boom. Ouch.
So Allison kind of takes that and she's like, look, we have to be in the same room together. Let's try to bury the hatchet. Like, let's try to put this stuff behind us.
How many times have they said that to each other?
So many times.
Like every episode, they're like, hey, you want to be friends? And then by the end of it, it's like, nah.
Well,
nah, we're good. I want to fuck Billy. Fuck you, bitch.
So Amanda's like, look, I will if you will. And Amanda's like, well, I did bring too many clothes. Feel free to borrow whatever you can squeeze into.
Boom. Another shot. Down goes Allison.
So guys, we go back to Jane and Michael's apartment. This is when it gets real.
Yeah. Michael comes home. Jane's just up.
She's been up all night.
Just sitting in the bed, like, just stewing. She looks at Michael as he comes in. She's like, seems like you've been on call a lot.
And Michael, of course, launches into the, oh yeah, it's been so tough. I feel like I sleep in that little tiny cot in the break room more than I do at my own house. And then Jane point blank says, are you having an affair? And Michael's reaction, guys,
it's perfect.
He should win the Best Actor award because, wow. Like,
it's a perfect, like, he reaction.
He was totally prepared for anything that Jane could throw at him. He's like, Jane, of course not. What would make you think such a thing?
And then when she calls him out, he does what he did with when Jane showed up at lunch, and he just rolls with the situation instead of trying to, like, go against the current.
I know. He's like perfect. She says, okay, well, you know, you had sand in your shoes and you said that you were at the office. He's like, well, does it occur to you that I might take a break or two at the beach?
Which I would be like, no, it doesn't fucking occur to me because that doesn't fucking happen, doctor.
Well, Jane thinks that dumbass. This is a plausible explanation. And then she's like, and then Allison told me that she saw you and Kimberly, and then he cuts her off and is like, oh, what, kissing in the parking lot?
He's like, yeah.
Oh, God, Jane, I told Allison that that's not what had happened. She had lost a patient. She was completely beside herself. She collapsed in my arms. I was merely comforting her. And then I don't know what Allison saw, but she misconstrued everything. And hey, wasn't she seeing that guy, Keith?
Mm-hmm.
And he was married. And then you piped up and you said you didn't agree with that. And you know what, Jane? She's just trying to find a way to get back at you. And this is it. She's trying to take this, twist it all around, make up all this crazy gossip, pin us against each other, and ruin a perfectly good marriage again.
How the hell do you run these lines?
You know
the whole damn line.
I have a really good short-term memory, but not a good long-term memory.
He just takes a page out of every abusive boyfriend, husband's book, and just... he rolls with the us versus them thing.
Yeah,
you
guys.
Gotta galvanize the partner and say, like, hey, she's after us. She's trying to break our love.
You're my angel, Jane. You're my angel.
She's just trying to come between us. She's jealous.
You believe me, don't you? You believe me over her. Yeah, and like, of course, Jane is like, well, she's so torn.
Yeah, she's like, well, of course. Of course I believe you.
We're back to the retreat.
Back to the retreat. Lucy is running this meeting outside. We see it's gotta be Rihanna's mother as a background actor. It looks just like Rihanna.
Really?
Sitting. Yeah, it looks just like her. But anyway, Lucy's talking. She's
wait,
like,
you forgot about... wait, ponytail dude?
No, he's not in this scene.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry. Anywho, Lucy is talking about the to-dos of the retreat, and the first thing is to role reverse with your partner, and I guess her partner is Amanda.
Yeah, so,
and Amanda is immediately like, this is fucking stupid.
Yeah. She's like, we're gonna do a little exercise. You're gonna work with you're gonna break off into pairs, the person you work with the most, and you're gonna switch roles, and you're gonna pretend to be one another.
How is that beneficial for anybody?
It's like, it gives you free rein to mimic and mock the person that you work with most.
Which isn't healthy.
I
don't think.
I know. And she's just like, so Amanda, like you said, is like, this is stupid. And she gets up and tries to walk away. And Allison is like, oh, come on, Amanda. I think it could be really beneficial. We can mirror each other. And then Amanda's like, I've got a mirror in my purse, Allison. I don't need you to be one for me.
So then Allison takes it upon herself. And she just like goes into Amanda mode. And she's like, hey, this is slipshod work. Yada, yada, yada. Where'd you get your clothes, Barbara Bush?
And then Amanda turns around and fires it right back at her. Oh, I was up all night trying to get my work done. Here you go. Billy.
I've been slaving away.
They kind of start kind of delving into what the root of their problems are. And it seems that from Amanda's perspective, Allison dumped Keith to try to get with Billy. And then when she ran away to Seattle, she expected Billy to follow. And when he didn't, she turned around and tried to, you know, get Billy back. And she basically tells Allison, hey, I put so much time and effort into the relationship with Billy, and I feel like you actively tried to destroy it, and I don't trust you. I'm never going to trust you, Allison. I feel like you've like really tried to ruin my life. And well, she storms away.
By time and effort, she means sexy time and like 5 days.
Yeah, I think maybe it was literally a total of like 8 days.
Like 5 business days in a weekend. It's like fucking it.
So, Jake and Billy are out at a park, and Billy is juggling the soccer ball.
Guys, way too many extras in this scene. They are way too close together, and every single person in this scene is playing different sports, all in the same area.
They're like within like 300 square feet of one another, yeah. And one person's playing frisbee, another person is playing softball,
and somebody then one else is throwing a football. It's like, guys.
And like, who are these people playing with? Where's the other person that's going to catch the frisbee?
It's very, very strange, very weird. And I'm like, dude, why did you pay all those people? Why? All you needed was like 3 people. Jake's there in like plain clothes, not playing sports. So what we're to assume is that he's just watching Billy play sports.
And Billy's like walking away. And I got to tell you, Billy has... He's kind of talented with juggling the soccer ball.
I think he played soccer.
He was good.
I think he was like a big, maybe almost pro. I think so. I think Andrew Shue was.
The more we learn about Billy's character.
Don't you fucking say it, Jenny.
I feel like the more in line he is with you as a person, Dan.
He absolutely is not.
If you don't know, Dan is a huge soccer fan. He plays on many different leagues. And this is a passion that you share with Billy.
It makes me so mad when you say that.
Well, anyway, they start talking about their personal lives. And Billy tells Jake that what's going on with he and Allison, which don't you remember, like, the day before Allison is like, can we please keep this private? And of course...
Yeah, Billy's already, so we're hooking up now. That's what we do. That's what we do. Jake's advice is, hey, just go to the retreat. And Billy's like, I can't. I turned in my cab, so now all I do is have the bus. And then Jake's like, hey, why don't you borrow a broken motorcycle from Jake's bikes?
So, great idea. And guys, Palm Springs isn't like around the corner from LA.
That bike is not Jake's bike. He fixes other people's bikes.
And he's just letting Billy drive it. And, you know, Billy does not have a good track record with borrowing people's cars.
And you need a different class driver's license to drive a motorcycle.
Well, all of this is just out the window. He feels as though this weekend that they're apart, that he's going to miss the window of opportunity to sleep with Allison. And that's basically what he's like, I'm not going to be able to have sex with her. Yeah. So he's like, take the motorcycle. So it's decided that's what he's going to do.
He's going to go do it. So now we are back to the retreat. It is now the evening. They're at a cocktail party. The opening scene is Rihanna's mother walking across. And then shortly following her is a mutant man with a funky ass ponytail.
Like a really long one, guys.
Where'd you find that guy? And why, out of all the guys, you picked him to walk across his camera? It's got to be somebody's cousin.
It makes an impression.
Or it's like, it's somebody's brother. They're like doing a favor. Like, we got to fit Jimmy in.
Get that ponytail in that episode.
Someone came to the director and was like, look, it's my cousin Jimmy's birthday. All he wants to do is be in Melrose Place.
Please.
And like, all right, where is he? Oh, fuck. It's that guy with the ponytail? Are you serious?
All right. Put it all up. Right. Put a green turtleneck on him.
Yeah. Send him out there.
Walk across.
Send him out there with Rihanna's mother.
So we get over to Allison and Amanda, and they're actually getting along. And they're kind of, Allison apologizes to Amanda to say, you know, we know Allison. She takes whatever anybody says to her and she really mulls it over and tries to like do some soul searching about it. And that's what she's done. And she's like, look, you know, you're totally right, Amanda. I think that I inadvertently did try to get Billy away from you, and it wasn't how you thought, but...
And again, Amanda tells Allison to search her soul. She does, and then she gets an apology.
Yeah.
That's like kind of... every time.
Yeah. And so they are kind of on good terms, and it seems like things are looking up for their relationship. And then we see that Billy arrives to the resort in Palm Springs, which again, guys, this is like 3.5 hours away from LA.
But he's on a bike, so he probably just sped there. And you know, Billy's irresponsible, so he was going over the speed limit for show.
Yeah.
But he shows up, he talks to the valet, and he's like, hey, where's this party? Am I dressed okay? And when has that ever mattered, Billy? You dressed like a jerk. You dressed like a jerk for 29 episodes.
And now, number 30 is like, yeah. Hey, I have to have some kind of standard.
Now you're finally worried? You wore like a piano necktie to Shooters. Trying to pick up chicks. Fucking dressing up is not your thing. Not in an ironic,
cool way. Like, serious.
Yeah, like, serious. What is wrong with you? Anyway, he entrusts a stranger, a valet, with an important note, because he won't dare set foot in that party dressed the way he is. And he can't be more vague with who to give this note to.
Right. He's like, I'm looking for Allison Parker. She's a beautiful blonde. You can't miss her. Just go ahead, give her this note in the party. She'll know what to do.
Yeah.
Yes, so, who else is a beautiful blonde that could be at the party?
Amanda.
And guys, we saw this a million miles away. Of course, the dude walks into the party, looks around, sees Amanda hanging out by her lonesome. He walks up to her and says, hey, are you Allison Parker? Well, no, but what do you need? And the guy's like, well, I have this note I need to deliver to her. Amanda says, why don't you give it to me and I'll make sure she gets it. So he does.
Womp womp.
And of course, Amanda being the curious little cat that she is, opens it up and it is a note from Billy saying he couldn't wait, had to see Allison now, love Billy.
Is that what we're calling bitches now? Curious little cats?
Curious little kitties.
No, she was trying to be a bitch and she wanted to get them in between this.
So, in vintage Amanda fashion, she storms into the lobby, sees Billy, and is like, oh, Billy, Amanda got your note. Allison got your note.
We're going to have to start drinking every time we miss
out. Oh my gosh, I don't know. So we would be wasted by this time. She says, Allison got your note, and she wanted me to deliver a message. This is a really important retreat for her. She's on probation. I don't know if you know that. And right now, Lucy's got her cornered outside, and it really is not going to look good for her if she has friends just showing up.
So you should go immediately.
And Billy's like, oh, well, are you sure, Amanda? You can't just go in and get her and have her come out?
I just want to talk to her.
And again... Oh, Billy, it's just not a good idea. You need to leave, but it's so good to see you.
Great to see you. Do you want to have sex?
And Amanda turns on her heel, walks out. So Billy's disappointed. I mean, again, guys, this is like a 3.5 hour drive one way. Mm-hmm. So he's going to have to get on his stupid motorcycle and drive back. Of course, since it's broken, he can't get it to work.
Now we go to Jake and Joe. The storyline that really doesn't matter. They get into a fight because Jake says the dumbest shit in the world and says, you change around your friends. You cannot say that stuff and not expect a fight, dude. And of course she's like, what?
Maybe you don't know me well enough.
Yeah, you don't know me then. And then he's like, well, maybe I don't. I don't know. I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah, and Joe is boring. Like, you know, well, what she says to him is that she was out with the models and she met like some higher up dude and he really likes her work and wants to give her some opportunities. And they were out all night and they partied. And
yeah.
He's like, look, you're not acting like yourself. And she's basically like, I think that it bruises your ego when I'm hanging out with other people. And that it hurts you. Oh, my God. Do you see that spider?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Please kill it. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Big.
That is enormous.
Big one.
I'm sorry, guys. There is, I think a spiders live in our couch, and I'm not kidding.
Whoa.
Damn, it's like a tarantula. Oh my God. Oh my God. It's in Moxie's toy box, dude. Oh God. Okay, so Dan just killed a freaking tarantula on the wall, and it fell on our daughter's toys.
No, it didn't. It's right there. It's going to do the podcast with us.
Oh, my God. They get in a fight. Joe storms out. So we go back to the resort in Palm Springs, and Billy's trying to get the motorcycle to work, but it's not turning over. A valet comes over. He's trying to help him. And then for whatever reason, Allison wanders out to the front of the resort and sees Billy there. And she's like, Billy, what are you doing here? And he's like, I'm going. I got your message. I'm sorry I showed up. And she's like, wait, what? Why are you here? And he's like, well, Amanda came out and said that you said I had to leave. And then it's apparent to both of them that Amanda has intervened and they decide to have a little night away. Billy is going to rent one of the hotel rooms and they're going to have a romantic evening together.
Oh, dang. It's going down. Now, Jane comes home. She sees that Michael isn't around. She's like, Michael, are you there? And she has had it, man. She's fed up. So she calls the hospital. She's like, Michael Mancini, please. And they're like, I'm sorry, he's on break?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then she's like, where? Where is he? And then she's like, you know what? Fuck this. I need Kimberly Shaw's address. And of course, the receptionist is like, no.
And BT Dubs, the receptionist, is Lane's mom from Gilmore Girls.
Yeah, I don't know who that is, but Jenny loves Gilmore Girls. Holla. So the woman says, no, you can't have other doctors' addresses, which is valid. And all Jane has to say is like, please, this is an emergency. I need the address. So she gets it. And she goes to Kimberly Shaw's apartment.
Yeah, guys, this happens. She goes to her apartment, knocks on the door. Kimberly is preparing another salad. We all know what they did with the salads last time.
A little sexy time salad.
On top of the salads. And Kimberly goes to the door, and Jane's like, hey, is Michael around? And Kimberly's like, oh, of course he's not here. I mean, did you try the weird coffee shop by the hospital? And of course, on cue, Michael comes out of the other room with just a towel wrapped around him, dripping with water because he just got out of the shower because they probably just
banged.
Yeah. And then he's like, oh, Kimberly, do you have any antiperspirant? And then he sees Jane and it's like his world comes crumbling down.
And she's like, that's all I needed. And she rolls out. And then Michael like runs down the hallway. He's like, Jane, wait! Jane! And then she's gone. He comes back in and he's like, I'm gonna get dressed. And then Kimberly has these lineless looks of like, is she happy that now that Jane knows? Is she upset that Jane knows? Is she worried about Michael? Like, all these questions I have about this scene.
Yeah. I think we're going to get a lot of answers next episode.
Yep.
But first, guys, we go back over to the resort in Palm Springs. Billy and Allison are in a beautiful darkened suite. And Allison is like, oh, I'm nervous because, of course, for whatever reason, they've, like, made it known that the next time they're together, they have to have sex. I don't know why. I don't know why this is, like, the logical step. Like,
it's a sex pact.
They can't, like, ease into it or just, like, see how it goes. It's like, when we're together next, we are totally banging.
We're gonna do it.
So Allison is like, I'm nervous. And Billy's like, I'm excited. And then cue the weird boys to men.
Boys, no. This is like Tevin Campbell's like cousin. Like
genuine.
No, it's like Tevin Campbell or like All for One.
Oh, All for One's a good one.
Yeah. The sexy time music.
And then we have a long montage of them undressing one another. And it's kind of weird because for so many episodes, they've had such a platonic relationship. It kind of is like watching a brother and sister make out.
Yeah, and it's pretty weak. It's not steamy at all.
Like the passion.
Yeah, I mean, Jake and Joe have had way more passionate sex scenes. Same with Michael. It's just nothing there. And this is the one, it's funny because this is the one that they planned so much, you know?
Yeah, like everything leading up to this.
Yeah.
So
there's just nothing.
They are like, we leave the episode with them on the bed.
Getting it on. Allison looks good. Boobies all out. I'm okay with that.
All right. And then we have the everlasting love song.
Mm-hmm.
Take us out to credits.
And that's the end of the episode, guys. So, to recap, Jane finds Michael cheating.
Joe is rising in the ranks of her photography career.
Billy and Allison do it.
Allison and Amanda kind of make up, but then Amanda shows her true colors when Billy shows up.
And Rhonda and Matt are dead.
Yeah, they're gone.
They've been murdered.
What's up with them?
Who knows? 90s moments. Jenny, what you got?
Firstly, drinking out of a pot of coffee. I think nowadays, either you got a Keurig or you're going to Starbucks. Who makes a whole pot of coffee these days?
Billy's little handheld radio at the beginning.
Allison's shoulder pads. Oh, God, that's so designing women, and it's very good.
Joe Reynolds and her little sexy models smoking in shooters.
Yeah, definitely. The whole confusion with the note at the hotel. I mean,
yeah, just call her cell phone.
I mean, if there were cell phones, this would have never have happened.
This would have never happened. Allison, after telling Jane about Michael, hands her a piece of paper that is her phone number and where she is. That would never happen.
Yeah, that never happened today. Calling deodorant antiperspirant.
Yeah, no one's doing that anymore.
Yeah.
Allison, in the role of Amanda, makes a nod to Barbara Bush and yeah, how she dresses.
That's a nice little reference there.
Mm-hmm. And the hookup music. Everlasting love.
Yeah, I forget the tune, unfortunately.
It was very forgettable.
So what's the lesson that you take away from this ep?
My lesson is, don't leave important information with strangers. So, basically, if Billy didn't leave that note with the valet, or whoever the fuck that guy was, he wouldn't have had that issue with Amanda.
It was actually a woman, but
right.
She kind of looked like a guy.
Was it a woman?
Yeah.
No with way. With
a really weird tight perm.
No way, that was a dude. That was a dude.
No, tight perm.
And then, Jane, when she calls the front desk of the hospital, Kimberly should not have let anyone know where she lived, because that information got out.
Yeah.
You?
I'd say just say no to last minute work trips.
Yeah.
Don't go.
Just don't go.
They're saying you're leaving tonight, you have to drop everything? No.
Sorry. Not going. I can't. All right, now it is time for Bitch of the Week.
I'm a boss ass bitch, 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 bitch. I'm
last week, bitch, 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 my bitch of the week was Kimberly, Jenny's, yours was Amanda, and with 83% to 17, you all have spoken. Amanda is the bitch of the week, and Jenny reclaims her title.
Yay! Thanks, guys.
So this week, who you got?
This week, I'm going to have to nominate Michael Mancini. And the reason is because he is such a smooth liar. He's such a bitch. I can't believe the way that he's treating his wife right now. You know, if you fall in love with somebody else and your heart goes elsewhere, just break up with the person that you're with. But he's stringing her along. He can tell that she is emotionally wrecked with him being away. And he is just time and time again finding ways to break her heart. It's their 2-year wedding anniversary. Guys, they've only been married for 2 years. He finds a way to get out of that to be with this woman he's cheating with. And then when she confronts him, instead of just manning up and telling the truth, he's got this entire story prepared where it totally makes her doubt her own friendships. And he's just playing these crazy mind games with her. I think that he is the biggest bitch of this entire episode. He sucks, and he should totally be named bitch of this episode. He's a bitch of the week.
All right. My bitch of the week is Kimberly Shaw. And here is why. Kimberly, you freaking bitch. You signed up to be Michael's side chick. On that beach, you said that you would take him any way you could get him. And here you are with him, and now you're complaining. Oh, I have to hide my feelings from you, and I can't kiss you in public, and Jane gets all the fun. Well, that's the name of the game, sweetheart. You're participating in infidelity, you freaking bitch. You're the bitch. You're such a bitch. I cannot believe it.
Well, believe it. What you guys are going to have to tell us who is right and who is wrong.
The day this episode comes out, go to Twitter at Melrose Pod and vote for the bitch of the week.
So this episode is named Carpe Diem, or Seize the Day.
Doesn't make sense to me.
I think it does.
Who seized the day?
Well, Allison and Billy. And Jane deciding to just go for it and see what's going on.
Doesn't work for me.
Carpe diem is seize the day, right?
That's what it means, yeah.
Okay, thanks. Well, okay. Do you have a better idea?
I'm going with the big event that happened this episode, and I'm calling this one Friends with Benefits. Because that's what Billy and Allison are.
Okay. I'm going with cover blown because Billy and Allison get found out by Amanda that they're kind of seeing each other. And then, of course, the other big storyline, Jane learns of Michael and Kimberly's affair.
Cover blown. Predictions. What's going to happen, Jenny?
Okay, so Amanda is going to take the gloves off. This is the last straw. If you saw her and Allison, they're sitting together. Oh, actually, her and Lucy are sitting together. And Lucy's like, Allison's such a love, isn't she? After this whole Billy thing happened, it's like, okay, first Allison steals her man. And now the big boss is like, oh, Allison's the best. She is out for blood. I think the next time we see her at D&D, the gloves are coming off and it's going to get crazy. I think that Michael's going to talk his way out of this whole thing to Jane. He's going to find some excuse. It's going to be like, oh, I was there taking a shower because I got blood all over me during a surgery, and the water was turned off at the hospital, and I had to go over to Kimberly's house. He'll make up some crazy thing, and then Jane will probably come crawling back. I think that Joe's going to get mixed up in a bad crowd. I think these supermodels are going to introduce her to some cocaine, maybe. I don't know. We all know
Jake hates cocaine.
How Jake feels about coke.
Perry, what are you doing, bro?
So it could get real ugly real soon. And then, again, is Matt and Rhonda dead? Because what's up with them?
They're done. They're dead. Dead skis.
So how about you, Dan? What are you thinking?
We're on the same page with Amanda. I think she's gonna do like something drastic, a last ditch effort to capture Billy's heart. But I disagree. I think Michael's out on his ass. It's a wrap. It's a wrap with him and Jane. I don't think they're gonna work it out. I think that brings in Sydney to live with Jane, and I think Michael and runs this escapade with Kimberly. And then it's all about, like, divorce and all this shit. So, that's what I think. Guys, we got two more episodes left after this.
For season one.
For season one.
Don't worry. We're going to season two.
I can't believe we've almost done a full season.
Yeah, I feel like we've done this, like, five times.
It's nuts. It is nuts. We got an awesome review on Apple Podcasts. Like we always say, if you like the podcast, go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a rating and a review, and we'll read it on the show, man. We really appreciate it.
So this one is from Gazpacho, and they say, growing up in the 90s, no other show brought my families together like Melrose Place. My mother, sister, and I would watch it religiously every week. This podcast, along with Hulu, is bringing my obsession back. I am rewatching the show with Jenny and Dan, laughing along with them, seeing the show in a whole new light. The only problem is waiting weekly for a new podcast like I had to do when I was 13 watching it for the first time. I love this podcast. And we love you, Gazpacho. Thank you so much for the kind and thoughtful review. It just melts our heart to know that you love Melrose Place as much as we do.
Thanks, Gazpacho.
You're the best. Isn't Gazpacho like a cold tomato soup?
I think so. But this is a person.
Oh, a cold tomato soup didn't write that?
Nope.
Oh, man.
Sorry. As always, guys, we are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Melrose Pod. We are on Patreon, patreon.com/Melrose Pod. If you ever want to contribute to the show and help us grow, we're on Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, and Stitcher. Just type in Melrose Place. You'll find us. And we'll see you next week.
Bye.